So you have the outline in front of you, the printed text for some of those statements are there. Others, the references are there. But we're going to look at a power source this morning. Do you ever feel like you need more strength? Do you ever reach moments? That's all right. Do you ever reach moments where you just feel depleted? Like, I need some more energy. I need some more strength. I need some more wisdom, problem-solving ability. I can't figure this out. Or just want to be supported. Just want someone to understand you, be there by your side, and be there with you going through those things. Well, there is something available to us to have access to those kind of things. And ultimately, where that leads us towards is a big part of having that strength is the health of our relationship with the Lord. How healthy is our relationship with the Lord? And the Lord calls us to Him, and the Lord calls us to live for Him. And His will for our lives, which is not the easiest thing to live out, especially on our own strength, His will for our lives is to enter into a trust-based relationship with Him and to pursue that relationship through prayer and study of the Bible and Christian fellowship and righteous and holy living. And those first three are part of what gives us the strength to do this, is our prayer life and study of His Word and Christian fellowship. Part of it, we're going to get to the other part of that this morning, but part of it is that. And it's strengthening us, empowering us to do the mission, and that is to our responsibility, which is not an easy task, is to help people who are not believers to become believers. And to help people who are believers to become stronger, grow, and become more mature and more effective in their faith. And that's not an easy thing to do. And you and I do not, on our own strength, have the ability to do that. But we do have the ability. And the only way we're going to be able to live out this will is to understand what it is, first of all, and that we are capable. We're going to do a real quick test to see if you're capable of doing God's will. You ready? I want you to breathe. Go ahead, just breathe. That means you're capable of doing God's will. If I am a living, breathing, alive human being, I am capable of doing God's will, but I'm capable because of the resources that He has given me. As I do this, I need to keep checking in with, consulting with the Bible. I need to not just assume that I know what's supposed to happen. I have this all figured out. And I don't need to consult here. And I have a handle on God's voice. I know exactly what He's telling me. And listen, there is space for that. But I need to keep checking that voice. And I need to keep checking those assumptions and those actions with the Bible to see, am I actually living out God's will? And He's given us a manual there. He's given us a great resource in that. I also need to know what's at stake for me living out His will for my life. The biggest one is ours and the people around us, their eternal destiny is at stake on whether or not we choose to live out God's will. And we might say, no, it's on God for that to happen. Yes, but it's on God and through us because He says, how will they hear without a preacher preaching to them? And so what's at stake for me living out God's will is the eternal destination of the people around me, as well as in many ways their earthly well-being. In your walk with the Lord, have you discovered moments that the Lord has given you peace when you've needed it? Have you discovered the Lord providing for needs, giving wisdom and direction, demonstrating His love and acceptance of you? Now, that might not translate to, you can't go to the bank and say, I have love and acceptance from the Lord, so I want to withdraw from this bank whatever amount. It might not translate to that. Might not translate to a good house or no back pain or anything like that. But there is impact on our earthly lives. And there are people around us that are dealing with stress and anxiety and worry and anger and frustration and fear and all of that stuff. And we have the answers to those things. And so me not living out God's will means that there are people that are without because of that. So that's, I need to understand that. I also need to decide to push through failures and difficulty. If I decide I'm going to do God's will as long as I never fail at it, I have news for you. You are going to fail. Probably more often than once. Probably numerous times. And if I take that to mean I'm not cut out for this, nobody's ever going to do it. Did you know Peter and Paul both failed numerous times, and yet they were used by the Lord? And difficulty. If I thought I was going to knock on the door of someone's house and say, hey, I'm the pastor of the church, just want to introduce myself and offer to pray for you, and I thought what was going to happen was they were going to fall on their knees spontaneously and just reach up to the heavens and say, I want to give my life to Christ, and I'm going to come to your church, and I'm going to get involved in ministry, and I'm going to give, and I'm going to do all this stuff, and then they did it also. They didn't just say they did it. If I thought every single door I knocked on, that was going to be the result, I've got another thing coming. Knocking on a lot of doors, because I don't know about you. Anybody ever been married before or have children? When you get married, your spouse does everything you want them to do. You don't even need to tell them. They just know everything that you want, and they just do it without even being asked. And your kids, every time you tell them what to do, they just do it. That is parenting and marriage right there in a nutshell, right? No, we know by experience that if we're going to see people's lives changed, if we're going to surrender to God's will, it isn't easy. And we have to decide to hunker down and say, all right, if I mess this up, I'm going to keep going. If I fail, if it gets hard, if I experience rejection, I'm going to keep going. There's a saying, and I think when we're young, we think we understand it, but it's because we're too foolish to realize we don't understand it. You know the saying, work smarter, not harder, right? When we're younger, we think we know what that means. But in reality, have you ever seen a young person working real hard and you think, there's an easier way to do this, okay? I was in my early 20s and I was a children's pastor at a large church, and I was on the floor on my hands and knees making this cardboard cutout thing. I won't demonstrate, but I was sprawled out on the floor cutting out this cardboard cutout thing, and one of the other pastors walked in the room and he says, why don't you do that on the table over there? And I thought, oh yeah, that probably would have been easy. And part of it is because when you're young, your back doesn't start hurting right away. When you're older, because I think it's like, I don't know about you, but do you get to a point where when you go to do something, you think, how's this going to make my back feel? All right, let me think how to maneuver this in a way that doesn't hurt my back, okay? Because we feel the pain, so we think, all right, I got to do this smarter and not harder. We know that with like power tools. It's one thing to have clippers for your hedges. It's another thing to have a power hedge clippers to cut that thing down. It's one thing to have one that is corded and you have to, have you ever done corded things? You know, every time you go, for some reason, you spin that thing up nicely. When you go get it, it still needs to be untangled almost every time. Especially if a kid's around, you know, so you untangle all the cords and then you have to step over it, pull it, it gets pulled unplugged, and it's better if you have a battery one or a gas-powered one, although I've found, do you guys like starting gas-powered weed whackers? They're a pain. It's just, come on, come on, come on, come on. And when you do a battery one, you know what happens? You flip the switch and it's on. And that's working smarter and not harder. And us as Christians, a lot of times, we tend to work harder and not smarter because we don't access all the resources that are available to us. Now, part of that, and that, actually all of that has to do with a prophecy made in Joel 2 that I read earlier. And as I had mentioned, it is Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to you men. And in Father's Day, we saw in Joel 2, the Lord prophesied of pouring out his Holy Spirit upon the sons and on the daughters, which implies there's parents involved in observing what's happening here. And actually, the attention did move to the men at some point and said, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Now, how many of us guys would like to say, I'm in the vision category because I'm one of those young men. I'm not the dream one. I'm the young man, not the old man. But the old men will dream dreams, and the young men will see visions when the Holy Spirit is poured out upon them. Some of you are exhausted. Some of you have reached moments where you, maybe for an extended period of time, where you just feel like, I'm just going through the motions. I'm doing all the right things on the outside, but it feels empty. It feels powerless. I'm getting tired doing it. I'm struggling. And some of the reason for that is not quite knowing how to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Some of that is we're trying to cut this forest down with hedge clippers manually. Rather than relying on the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, where all we have to do is flip the switch, and there goes the power. But how do I experience the fullness of what is called in Scripture the baptism in the Holy Spirit? So there's a few practices that we need to be practicing in order to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No, this is not us making it happen. In many ways, this is us getting a position to receive what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives. What did Jesus say? He said, how much more will the Father give of the Holy Spirit to those who do nothing? How much more will the Father just force upon everybody the Holy Spirit? Did he not say that? Am I misquoting that? How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Which implies that there is a receiving posture to get in order to experience the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know we want it. I know we want it. But how do we get in the right posture to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The first is to provide motivation for ourselves to seek the Holy Spirit by understanding how great it is to be filled. If we knew how great it was, there numerous times Heather tries to introduce me to a new piece of technology. Anybody just doesn't, you don't like to change? You have a way that you're doing it. You don't want to change it. And Heather will try to show me there's a way that's easier to do this. Like if you use any like Excel spreadsheets, okay? If you're using spreadsheets, did you know that that thing can calculate what you want it to calculate for you? You just plug in all the numbers, it'll do it for you. Instead of you doing the calculator and running all the numbers and making sure it matches, it'll do it for you. And there's times that Heather will tell me, did you know it does this? And I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. Not doing it. Not changing anything. Because I'm going to work harder here, not smarter. If we only knew how good it is to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we would have the motivation to ask for it. Give me every bit of that, Lord, if we understood what it was. So first, what it is, Acts 1, verse 4 and 5, this is what it says. Wait for the promise, Jesus speaking, wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now he said that, and then when it happened in Acts 2, the way Luke described it was not baptism. He used a different word. In Acts 2:4, he said, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So for the same experience, we got two different terms that are used. And the reason is because the baptism in the Holy Spirit is often broader than we think. There's a lot of different ways to describe it and explain it. And sometimes when we use the word baptism in the Holy Spirit, We misunderstand the way the Bible compares two different things. Because when you think baptism, besides baptism of the Holy Spirit, what other baptism do we think of? Baptism in water. And so when we do baptism in water, how often do we get baptized in water? Typically one time, right? And so we think, oh, baptism in water, baptism of the Holy Spirit, then I just get baptized once in the Holy Spirit, and that's the end of that experience. And we're misunderstanding the comparison. Because Jesus said, just like Jonah was in the heart of the whale, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Now, he wasn't saying that he was going to be in a whale. He wasn't saying he was going to... Do you know how Jonah got out of the whale, by the way? I don't want to ruin your lunch or anything, but he was vomited out onto the shore. Jesus didn't say he was going to be vomited out of the tomb. It wasn't an exact comparison. There was an aspect of one experience that was similar to the other. And it was the 3 days and three nights in one location. In baptism with water and the Holy Spirit, the similarity is, when we get baptized in water, do we just get a little bit wet? Do we just get down to our waist? I get fully immersed, completely immersed and surrounded by, and I could feel the either warmth or coldness of, depending on whether we get that going good, and the movement of the water is completely surrounding me. So when Jesus says we will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, he means completely immersed into the activity of the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I say the activity of the Holy Spirit is because where is it that God does not exist? Is God in this room right now? Is God in a room somewhere halfway around the world in China? God exists everywhere. So why would I ask for more of his presence if he's everywhere that I am? And the reason why we say that is we don't understand this experience. It's not that God wasn't present before Acts 2 and he is present now. It's because, in fact, remember Moses? Moses said, Lord, I will not go unless you go with me. As if to say, if I move forward from this place, God won't be with me unless I make sure that that happens. So what is it that is happening there? It's not that God isn't here and he is here. It's that in this place, God isn't working. God isn't demonstrating his presence, making it felt. God isn't doing things through that person. In this space, God is. Think about when the Holy Spirit came upon the believers. Did it just come and then they just stayed the same way they were? Did it just come and they just, that was cool, and they just went along doing whatever they wanted to? No, some activity began to happen. And you might be in this room saying, listen, 20 years ago, I came down to an altar call, and someone prayed for me, and I had an experience. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I spoke in tongues, and I'm good now from there on out. That's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because I should ask myself, where is the power being demonstrated in my life? Where is the activity that should be happening in my life? Where is that? Where is the felt presence of the Lord? Where is his voice? Where is him working through me? Where is that? That is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so then what comes with it? What are the benefits? Have you ever bought a membership and you're like, but I want to know what the benefits are, right? Or if you buy new internet, isn't it scary? You know, when you buy internet, you say it's only $40 a month. And then you get the bill, it's $80 a month. And you ask why, and they, oh, well, there's this charge and this charge and this charge. The 40 is just for the internet, and the other 40 is for all these hidden fees and stuff. Isn't that great when they do that? And when you're switching internet, what are you asking? How fast is the upload speed? How much is it going to actually cost the final bill? You want to know how it's going to work. And so when we receive the Holy Spirit, what's the benefit of being filled with the Holy Spirit? And we might say, I don't know if that's fair to ask. Well, why would the Bible tell us what the benefits are of being filled with the Holy Spirit if it's unfair to ask? So what is it that I gain by being baptized in, by experiencing the activity and the filling of the Holy Spirit? 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, some translations say liberty, but it means the same thing. There is freedom. And I might ask myself, well, what is that? You know, why is that so good, freedom? Have you ever just inside of you, you felt incapable of doing what it was you wanted to do? Whether it was you wanted to restrain your anger, or you wanted to make a choice not out of anxiety, or you wanted to be able to walk away from anxiety, and you couldn't. You just couldn't seem capable of doing it. That's what freedom is. Freedom is the ability to be free to choose to not walk in anxiety, the freedom to choose to not respond to the flesh, the freedom to choose holiness and righteousness, the freedom to choose to walk in and live in victory. When I experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in my life, I gain the freedom to make these choices. Acts 9:31 says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace, and it was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. One of the benefits of the presence and activity of the Holy Spirit is to be comforted. Have you ever wanted to be comforted before? Have you ever had somebody comfort you badly? I just witnessed a TV show, I won't say what it was, but a TV show where someone was needing comfort, and the person came and said, do you want me to sing for you? And the person that needed comfort said, no, I don't want you to sing. And you know what the person who was wanting to bring the comfort did? They started singing. Because that person didn't know how to bring comfort. Have you ever been around people like that? They're trying to help, but they're just making it worse. That's not the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes into my life, he is able to make me comfortable no matter what it is. That's why David could say that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. I am comforted. I'm comfortable. Romans 5:5 says, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Have you ever been seeking God, praying, serving him, and not feeling like he loves you? You know it, and here you could read it in the scriptures, but I don't feel him loving on me. Have you ever had someone tell you, and I love you, that was cold? I love you. Okay? The words are right. I'm not feeling it, right? Versus the warmth rather than the cold shoulder. And it's not that it's a necessity, but if we want to feel the warm embrace of the affection of the Lord, it comes to encountering the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. 2 Corinthians 1:21 says, given us his spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. 2 Corinthians 5:5 says, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Have you ever felt uncertain, unsure, insecure, just didn't feel safe? The Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is active in our lives, gives us the assurance that everything is okay, that we are all right with the Lord, that everything is going to be okay. That is the benefit of experiencing the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit. Or Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever been praying and you felt like there was a wall between you and God? I'm just praying and praying. It seems like nothing is getting through. I can't seem to break through this barrier that's in front of me. And I don't know what to do. I'm saying stuff, I'm seeking, but I just don't feel like I'm getting through. Again, Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray as we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. What the baptism of the Holy Spirit does in my life is when I don't seem to be able to break through that barrier, the Holy Spirit comes in and takes over and breaks through that wall. That is the benefit of being baptized in, filled with, experiencing the Holy Spirit. And so when I find myself not asking for that, I need to remind myself, why wouldn't I ask for that? Why wouldn't I want breakthrough prayer? Why wouldn't I want assurance and God's felt love? Why wouldn't I want comfort and freedom? Why would I not want that power and victory? And so if I want that, it comes through the Holy Spirit. And so we ask, and what did Jesus say? How much does the Father want to give of the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Well, but I don't know if that experience is for me. I don't know if the Lord really wants to do that in my life. I see him doing it in somebody else's life, but he doesn't seem to be doing it in mine. So maybe it's not for me. Maybe I'm just an exception to this. And I begin to doubt that God can and will pour out his Holy Spirit upon me. Now, how do I resolve doubting that the Holy Spirit can and will and wants to work in my life? Well, I do it first by knowing how sure this whole thing is. When Jesus referred to it in Acts 1, he said, the Holy Spirit, that is a maybe for you. The Holy Spirit that could possibly someday happen in your life, but maybe not. No, Jesus called it the promise of the Holy Spirit, that it is a guarantee. And then later, Peter in Acts 2 used the same word, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And then later in Galatians 3, Paul would refer to it the same way, the promise of the Holy Spirit. This experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is a promise for us. It's not a maybe. It's not hopefully someday. It is a promise for us. In fact, Peter in Acts 2, when he preached his sermon in Acts 2, 14 to 21, I encourage you to read it. Numerous times, and he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit because it happened, and then he stood up and explained it to the crowd, and numerous times, you know what he said? The Father will do this. God will do. God will do. God will do. I think at least four times he said, God will do this. And again, though, but maybe he will do that for them. But I don't know if he's planning, maybe that's just for some special followers of Christ. Maybe that's for just like the pastor. Or maybe that's just for those first century Christians. I don't know if that's for me. Do you ever feel like that sometimes? Do you ever feel the oddball out? I think everybody else is going to get this. I don't know if I'm going to get this. But that's not the way the Bible refers to it as. You know who it's for? Everyone. Acts chapter 2, verse 17, it would be poured out on all flesh. Acts 2:21, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Acts 2:39, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Now, in case we still need more convincing, have you ever had someone give you a convincing argument and you thought, yeah, I'm still not sold yet? Okay, so in case you need some more convincing, everyone means everyone, regardless of Acts 2:17, poured out on the sons and daughters. My gender is not relevant when it comes to whether or not I can receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter regarding age. Acts 2:17, on the young and on the old. Some, have you ever said, I'm too old for this? You might not have been referring to the Holy Spirit, but I know we've said that before. I'm too old for this. Okay? Or we might have said of other people, they're too young for that. They're not ready. But this thing, this experience is for the old and for the young. In fact, do you remember when Mary encountered Elizabeth and they were both pregnant, the Holy Spirit came upon somebody? Do you know who it came upon? John the Baptist, the infant that was still inside the womb. My age is not relevant on whether or not I can receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, nor is my economic class. Now, it doesn't say it would be poured out on the wealthy. In Acts 2:18, it says it would be poured out upon the servants, the lowly. Now, it doesn't mean it's not for the wealthy, because I want you to know something. You're wealthy according to the Bible. Because if we were to look at actual poverty in the first century in Israel, we are wealthy compared to the majority of people that lived at that time. But he had to point out the lowly because that's the people who would assume it's not for me. And so it is for the wealthy and for the lowly. And so it doesn't matter how much money you have, how many resources you have. It doesn't matter if you have no friends and nobody likes you. No matter what class you find yourself in, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is available to you. And we might say, well, I don't know if it's available for me now. Maybe it was 2,000 years ago, but I don't know about now. Lex, I love that the Bible has an answer for everything. Every objection we can think of, the Bible usually has an answer to it. And it says in Acts 2:39, this is for you, those first century believers, and for your children, the next generation. And I want to note here, what we're talking about here at that moment is generational direction. This is for this generation, the next generation, and listen to this, and for all who are afar off. That means this generation, the next, and all the generations that are yet to come for years and years and years down the road. So that means if I'm a baby boomer, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for me. If I'm a Gen X, if I'm a millennial, if I'm a Gen Z, if I'm whatever next comes along the pike, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for me. It doesn't matter my gender, it doesn't matter my age, it doesn't matter my classification, it doesn't matter my race, it doesn't matter my generation. If I'm a living, breathing human being like we just tested a moment ago, everybody passed that test. Isn't it great to pass a test? You are a living, breathing human being. The promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is available to you. Well, then why am I not experiencing it? Some of it has to do, have you ever just been having some problems and at some point you realize that you were the problem? You know, there's that saying that some people are their own worst enemy. And this is true of the experiencing routinely the baptism of the Holy Spirit is sometimes we're the ones that get in the way of it. You see, it's not that we can make the baptism of the Holy Spirit happen, but we can certainly cause it to not happen in our lives. Why do you think it says in the Scriptures to not quench the Holy Spirit? Because there is a way that we can act and behave that keeps that experience out of our lives. And I don't know about you. Give me more of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Give me every bit of what you have for me. Well, then how do we get out of the way? What am I doing to get in the way or being the obstacle of the Holy Spirit in my life? It's by failing to embrace a couple of things. Acts 2, 38 to 41. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Listen to this. Repent, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He gives them an invitation to do something first. Repent, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. Now, he wasn't saying stay away from those people. Otherwise, how could we evangelize? But he was saying, don't embrace their crookedness. Don't become like them, but repent and turn to, you know what repentance means? It's to turn from one thing to another. What am I turning from? I'm turning away from living life the way I want to live my life. Some of us need to realize that we might not be doing any big sin, but we're living our lives the way we want to live our lives. We're not living a life surrendered to the Lord. We're living our lives the way we want to live it. And we have to repent. If we want the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I have to turn away from living my life the way I want to and listen to what it says. Save yourself from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized. Those who received his word. And so I repent. I turn away from living the way I want to live my life to turning to the way the Bible, God's revealed word, tells me how to live my life. And we might say, well, where's the freedom in that? Because I thought just a moment ago, baptism of the Holy Spirit means freedom. Well, now I've got rules. Well, if I look at it as rules, I'm misunderstanding something. Because listen, if your doctor said you need to drink more water, would you say, I don't want to drink more water. I don't want any rules. If your doctor said, hey, here's something that can help you resolve the problem you came for, don't give me a bunch of rules, doctor. I just want you to solve my problems. Do we do that? No, we know that there's certain things that affect our natural body. Sometimes we don't realize there's certain things that affect our spiritual body. And if we truly want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I have to surrender. I have to repent and turn to living for the Lord. Galatians 3:14, so that we might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. I have to believe that the Holy Spirit is going to come into my life. If I don't think it, what did Jesus say? Anything you ask in my name, or nothing is impossible to the one who asks, believing. If I say to this mountain, take it up and cast it into sea, it will happen. If I have faith the size of a mustard seed. And some of us, we're not receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit because we don't believe that it's going to happen in our lives. I love the story that Jesus came into an area and the gospel writer said he couldn't do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. They didn't believe. If I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I must believe this is for me. It's a promise, and this is going to happen, and I am going to ask. But again, I can't be asking for it and living my life the way I want to and expect that God's going to pour out his Holy Spirit upon me. I have to surrender. I have to believe. And then this one's hard for people. In Acts chapter 8, as well as in Acts chapter 9, we get people getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know how? Because someone came and laid their hands on them and prayed for them, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I might say, I don't need a person to pray for me. I could just, what am I, Catholic? I don't need a person to confess to. I just could just go straight to God. Well, then why does he tell us to come before the elders of the church and pray for me, lay their hands on me and pray for me so that I could be healed? Have you ever wondered that? Why is that necessary? Can't the Holy Spirit just do that? Because he wants us to lean on one another, to rely upon, depend on. And that's why many people don't come to church a lot of times. Because I don't want to depend on anybody else. I have God. I'm good. And God is saying, no. I've designed you to be in community and in fellowship, and I've designed you to be with people. I will meet your needs, but I want to meet your needs in many ways through people. And some of us have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit because we want to do this struggle by ourselves and alone. We don't want anybody else to know we're struggling about it. Rather than coming to another person and saying, listen, I need the Holy Spirit. I'm weak. Will you pray for me? It's not easy to say weak, right? Because we're guys, right, men? We're guys. We have more power, right? We're strong. We're not weak. It's hard to admit that. But what does the scripture say? When I am weak, he is strong. Only in my weakness will I discover the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. And some of us are not experiencing it because we're not willing to humble ourselves. Then to live for the mission. Some of us have surrendered to the Lord of sorts, and we have faith in him, but we're not living for the mission of reaching people and serving one another and ministering to each other and helping people grow in their faith. And we're wondering, where's this baptism of the Holy Spirit? I'm praying. I'm reading the Bible. Where's the baptism in the Holy Spirit? You want to understand something? In Acts 1, verse 3, it says that Jesus, five verses before he says the promised Holy Spirit, it says he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Do you know what Jesus was focused on? The kingdom of God. Why do you see in the Gospels numerous times that he would say the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of God is like? He was always focused on the kingdom. And then here again, what is he talking about in this conversation? The kingdom. And I might say, well, I don't know what that has to do with me being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, five verses later, you know what he says? In verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will feel comfortable and at ease and enjoy your life. No, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The purpose primarily of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in my life is to empower me to do the mission. And so when I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and I refuse to do the mission, there's a reason why I'm not experiencing the activity, the power, the filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit is because I'm not doing the mission. That's what it's there for. In fact, numerous times in Acts when the Holy Spirit showed up, the response was to make kingdom declarations. In Acts 2, verse 4, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 6, and at the sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. Verse 11, they said, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. When the Holy Spirit fell, they spoke of the works of God. They make declaration. In Acts 2, 14, Peter, when he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he stood up and you know what he did? He preached a sermon. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, it empowers us to do the ministry. Numerous references from here on out says, in the Old Testament, when this happened, the Holy Spirit spoke it through them. And then when the New Testament, now, right now, I speak because the Holy Spirit is working in my life. Acts 4, 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke. He said, he began to declare. Acts 10, 44 to 48, the believers, the Holy Spirit came upon them. You know what they did? They spoke in tongues. Acts 13, 9, but Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon, we begin to speak. Speak what? Kingdom declarations. Acts 19, same thing. The Holy Spirit came and they spoke in tongues. When the Holy Spirit comes, it comes to empower me to do the mission. You know how David said in his psalm, I think it's Psalm 51, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Because he realized he was no longer in God's will And he knew that the Holy Spirit, not that God isn't present there, but the activity of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment, could be lost if we refuse to do the mission. In fact, the Bible describes that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for the purpose to empower us to minister and for sanctification. To ministry, Acts 1:8, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 3:16, the filling of the Holy Spirit is for the purpose of ministry. In Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. 2 Thessalonians 2:16, sanctification, being made holy by the Spirit. 1 Peter 1:2, sanctification of the Spirit. If I'm not living out the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, why is he going to keep giving it to me? And it is to be prioritized, the kingdom of God is to be prioritized over our interest in eschatology. You know what eschatology is? The study of end times. And you know how I know it's supposed to be prioritized over that? Well, in Jesus' conversation in Acts 1, verse 6, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? That's an eschatological question. They came to Jesus and said, when's this stuff supposed to happen? And we get all intrigued on that, right? When's the second coming going to happen? When's the rapture going to happen? When's this one world government going to happen? When's the persecution? What's going to be the mark of the beast? Who's going to be the Antichrist? When's all this stuff going to happen? And the disciples were the same thing. They came to Jesus and said, when's it all going to happen? I'm so excited. I just want to know. I want to know what's going to happen. You know what Jesus said? Yeah, he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father is fixed by his own authority. Don't worry about that. You know what he told them to worry about? That's when he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. I'm convinced that the obsession over eschatology and particularly the book of Revelation is a distraction from Satan himself to keep us from doing the mission. And there's people that will talk all kinds of craziness about end time stuff to people who don't know Christ and scare them away because they're talking crazy talk. Not because they're talking on Bible talk, they're talking crazy talk. Some people run from us not because we're Christians, they run from us because we're crazy. And Jesus doesn't want us to focus so much on the end times. He wants us to focus on the mission and to prioritize it over how people feel about us or how they view us. Listen to this. Acts 2:12 and 13, and all of them were amazed and perplexed, saying the people who saw this, saying to one another, what does this mean? So some of them were intrigued when they saw the Holy Spirit working in someone's life. They were interested. What is this? But other people didn't have the same response. It said, but others mocking said, they are filled with new wine. If we choose to live out the demonstration of the Spirit in our lives, some people are going to think we're crazy, and it's not our fault. It's because we are doing what the Lord shows us to do, and some people are going to think you're nuts. Some people are going to think, I stay away from that guy, they're crazy. In fact, I know that there will come a day that I'll walk down this street, and some people, that's the guy that's coming to our house to talk to us about Jesus. We better turn the blinds down and turn out the lights and hide. They did the same thing to these guys. They said, they're crazy. They're nuts. And if I'm consumed about how people think of me, I will never do the kingdom of God. In fact, that's why many of us don't do it, is because we're afraid what they'll think and what they'll do. And if I'm going to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I must prioritize the kingdom, because that's where the baptism comes into play, is when I live for the kingdom of God. Lastly, last practice is to always ask for more. We're mistaken when we think that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a one-time experience. In fact, in Acts 2, 10, and 19, the baptism of the Holy Spirit came after salvation. They got saved, and later they experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 10, they got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, then they got baptized in water. And you know why it goes out of order at times? Because the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not concluded by getting saved. It's not concluded by getting baptized in water. In fact, it goes in and out of every single one of those experiences. If I assume that the activity of the Holy Spirit in my life is over because I came to an altar and someone, the Lord enabled me to speak in tongues, or I felt something, I'm missing out on what the Holy Spirit wants to bring in my life. In fact, we are taught to ask for more. Ephesians 5:18, speaking to believers, he said, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want you to think about this for a moment. If someone's going to be drunk, how do they stay drunk? They have to keep consuming the alcohol. Why does Paul make this comparison? Because if I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I need to keep seeking the filling of the Holy Spirit. This is an ongoing experience. Galatians 6:8, the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Why do I have to keep sowing to the Spirit if I got it one and done? Because this is an ongoing thing. Why is it that Paul says to believers in Titus 3:5, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? My prayer team, the altar team, if you'd come in to the altar and be prepared to pray. Habiba, that means you too. In the Bible, people laid hands on people and prayed for them, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we'd like to do for you this morning, if you want, is to come forward and have some of these individuals lay their hands on you and pray that you would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But it's always dangerous to do what we're about to do. And it's dangerous for a couple of reasons. One is because sometimes weird things happen. Unusual things happen. And they could be in the flesh at times. But me as a spectator, when we come forward, I need to remember the spectators in Acts. Some of them mocked them and others were intrigued. And so if someone gets excited, someone starts to cry, someone falls over, someone starts to speak in tongues, don't say there's something wrong with them. I don't want any of that. Don't fail to get what the Lord wants from you. But in the same token, don't come down here trying to coach someone to speak in tongues. In Acts 2, when the Holy Spirit came, they didn't have coaches show up to coach them how to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit showed up and it happened. And when you come to receive the Holy Spirit, don't try to make tongues happen for yourself. Don't start blabbering and don't start stuttering just in hopes to speak in tongues. Don't focus on that. They weren't focused on tongues when the Holy Spirit came up. You know what they were focused on? I want the Holy Spirit, and then the tongues happen. There's no coaching, coaxing, any of that necessary. Amen. Amen. And also, don't come here to seek an experience. Don't come here to experience emotions. Don't come here and just make sensationalism happen. Because sometimes we do get in the flesh, and we just do fleshly things, and we get excited. There's nothing wrong with excitement, but sometimes we get excited and it wasn't the Spirit. It was just excitement and emotions that we had. We want the Holy Spirit. Are you tired? You might say, well, I'm good. I've had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm saved. I don't need any more. Well, does the demonstration of the power of God in your life or the lack thereof demonstrate you need more of the Holy Spirit? So as the worship team leads us, don't talk yourself out of more of the Holy Spirit. Don't you need more power? Don't you need more felt love? Don't you need more wisdom? Don't you need more stability? Don't you need more comfort? Don't you need an anointing from the Lord? These guys want to pray for you. And even if they're not ready, just come and kneel and seek the Lord. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's a promise for every one of you in this room. So come and seek the filling of the Spirit this morning. And I'm not leaving till you do line. Sometimes the Lord really wants to know if you mean it.
Amen.
When you're coming and asking. So we might delay. And when I first got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I came down to an altar like this and had someone pray over me. And then I knelt down on my knees and I prayed for probably 30 minutes or so at the altar. And it didn't happen. So I left. You know what I did? I left and went home. Got on my bed and knelt down on my bed and continued to pray and ask. And at 2 in the morning, now this was an evening service, so it wasn't like all afternoon, but at 2 in the morning, the Holy Spirit overtook me. And I began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit came upon me. And so if you come forward and ask for people to lay their hands and pray on you, and you didn't experience what you were expecting, then ask again, and ask again, and ask again. That's why when Jesus told the parable of the unrighteous judge, he said, listen, let me tell you how to pray for this. You come and ask, and if the judge says no, you keep coming and nagging that judge until you get it. Jesus, I mean, how many times do we get this opportunity? Who in the world tells us, you keep nagging me? But that's what the Lord said. He said, you keep nagging me about this. You keep asking for it. And it's that that's going to result in us, because we're showing how much we want him in our lives, that the Holy Spirit will show up. And so when we conclude in a moment, two things. One, altar team, I want you to stay here if you would. And so when I dismiss, just stay here. Sometimes the worship team misses out on these opportunities too. And so if you need prayer, then when we conclude, see them. Or if you didn't come forward because you didn't want to come forward in front of others or whatever, then they're going to stay here and linger here for a little while and be available to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or you know what? It's okay if you came forward and you decide you want to come forward a second time. Because he says, ask and keep on asking. Ask and keep on asking. And you know what I love? Listen. For us, for Bethel, for all of us. Do you know this growth of the church? This isn't for me, this church growing. This isn't just for you. You know what it is? It's for all of us and for his glory that his church gets built up. And it says in Acts 9, we read this earlier, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So these people became people of the Spirit. The Lord was working in their lives and they were working with the Spirit. And you know what the result was? Regarding the church, you know what it says? It multiplied. It grew when the people in it became people of the Spirit. And we are going to see that. If we yield to the Holy Spirit and yield to the mission and choose to become people of the Spirit, we're going to see growth in number. We're going to see growth in people's faith. We're going to see people unstable become stable. We're going to see the miraculous, the supernatural. If we choose, and listen, we don't have the ability to do it on our own, but we have the Holy Spirit who is able. And so throughout this week, again, I need you to get this. Don't just see it as a one-time thing. But today, when you deal with some family members, and you feel like, I need some strength to deal with this. I need some wisdom to know how to deal with this. Then remember and stop and say, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit right now. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and help me to deal with this. Tomorrow, when you go to work, and I don't know how to deal with this. You're driving through traffic, or you're going through the doctor and finding out health issues, or you're dealing with your emotions or your finances and you're struggling and you don't have the strength, Holy Spirit, fill me to overflowing and help me to have the boldness and the faith to believe that I can do what you call me to do, no matter what my circumstances are. When you go and knock on that door and you offer to pray for someone, when you invite the church, when you reach out to somebody to try to convince them to follow Christ, and they're looking at you like you're crazy, or they rejected your offer and it hurts, ask the Holy Spirit to come in and comfort you and give you the ability to keep going. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That's the biggest thing to remember. You're hurting, you're powerless, you're struggling, you're weak, you're going through the motions, then ask and keep on asking. And so, Lord, we're asking that you would fill this place with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we're willing, Lord, to yield to you. And so if we need to change something about our lives and the way we live, if we need to start actually doing the mission, Lord, then we yield to you. But we yield, Lord, because we're asking, send the Holy Spirit upon us. Fall upon us, Lord. Fill us to overflowing. Sanctify us. Let the power of the Holy Spirit be upon us. And remind us, Lord, at every desperate moment, at every state of weakness and confusion, remind us, Lord, to ask, give me more, Lord. I don't need a preacher or a pastor right by my side to have it. I don't need someone else to be my guide, though we lean on each other and we receive that strength. But Lord, even when I'm alone, I have the Holy Spirit available to me. Help me to ask. Help me to ask. Help me to ask. And we ask for all of this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope that the Holy Spirit is working in your life. And altar team, don't leave. John, don't leave. So as we dismiss, you're free to go. But come see these guys if you would like to receive prayer. They would love to pray for you. And again, when you leave and you didn't get what you were looking for, keep on asking. He's real and he's promised. Love you. God bless you.